Support comes from Country Financial, now through March hosting information sessions for farmers throughout the state of Illinois. Topics include updates to both the federal crop insurance program and the farm bill, and at most locations, how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. More information is at countrycrop.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of January 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. It's Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will be here, too, to take a look at the cash grain market. He's with Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. And along the way, we'll hear from Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Mike's been digging into El Niños from the past. And in particular, what really wet Novembers and Decembers in the United States might mean for summer crop prospects. You may be surprised and concerned both, so stay with us as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check out the numbers as they finished up in Chicago and what the grain futures were like for the day in the corn pit this afternoon. Down a quarter of a cent. The nearby March at 353. July at 364 and a half unchanged. December up a half at 378 and three quarters. Soy complex, January up a penny and a quarter at 877. The March at 864 and a half down a quarter, and July down three quarters at 873 and three quarters. November beans down a penny today at $8.77 and three quarters. Bean meal January at $8.66 and a quarter, 70 cents lower. Bean oil down 15 at $29.44. Wheat futures in the soft red winter July at $4.80 and a half, up four and three quarters. July hard red at $4.82 and a quarter, up two, and rather up one and three quarters for the day. Live cattle futures were down the limit, $3 lower at $133.52 and a half, and feeders were down $4.50 at $163.82. And a half. Their lock limit lower. Still trading, of course. Lean hogs, February contract down $1.30 at $59.52 and a half cents. On the line to take a look at these numbers with us is Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's another interesting day in Chicago, and I think as much as anything else, an interesting week to look at. I didn't get a chance to ask you very much this morning about the technicals. The last time we talked before Christmas, we were looking higher. We spent 2 weeks moving lower, and now I'm wondering what your technicals are telling you.
Well, technicals on soybeans, I would say, are neutral. A lot of it will probably depend upon how we close out the week. I mean, we probably about unchanged, I think, for the week. If tomorrow would happen to be higher and we could close out the week higher on soybeans, then that would kind of solidify the idea that maybe soybeans have put in an early January low and would probably begin to maybe try to rally as we go on into the January crop report. Now, what the January crop report says or what kind of impact that has, I don't know. But at least soybeans are at the point where they do look like they're stabilizing. Corn is still lower for the week after making new contract lows. The trend is down. But, you know, if you could get soybeans to go and maybe pull corn along with it, you could maybe, you know, stabilize the corn market. From a cyclical point of view, I think there's room for maybe some kind of bounce in here, and a lot of that might have to do with short covering prior to USA's crop report, and even maybe USA's crop report might have a slantish tilt to it, to the positive side. I don't see anything really bullish there. Commodities are going to be supply driven, and right now supplies are more than adequate to meet any demand that the market is at least looking at. I think more intermediate term, it wouldn't surprise me to see this market drift lower as we go through the winter months, maybe on into March. The function of the market is to reduce plantings. It's totally opposite of what it was 5 to 10 years ago. And I think what we could be seeing here is if the market does drift lower during February, is your crop insurance average prices would be significantly low to the point where maybe you could reduce acres by keeping the marginal acres out of production. The crop insurance price has been kind of the banker's lean against loaning money to farmers to plant marginal acres. And if the crop insurance prices are low enough and it doesn't warrant risking planting marginal acres, then you could maybe see a reduction in overall acres. And then that would be positive maybe then toward maybe like an April, March or an April, May type rally.
So you're not particularly friendly to the market, at least until we get into spring crop conditions.
I think it's all weather at this point. Until you can get a weather issue going, the market is going to struggle. We just have too much production, and we're going to plant too many acres. And if we have favorable weather, the balance sheets are going to get fatter on the ending stocks carry and ending stocks levels. And if as long as you're in that environment, it's going to be very difficult to get the market to do anything but move lower. I think the other thing here is the grain is still probably in farmer hands. Visiting around the grain trade, it kind of tells me that the grain companies have not bought the grain that they normally have bought by this time. So farmers are real slow sellers of commodities. And as long as it's in farmers' hands, again, that kind of supports the idea that it'll be difficult to get the market to sustain any kind of major up move, because any kind of rally will be met with farmer selling, and that will knock the prices back down again.
Okay. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
That's all I have for now. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, and looking forward to having you on Commodity Week this afternoon.
Very well.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joins us here on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Country Financial, now through March hosting information sessions for farmers throughout the state of Illinois. Topics include updates to both the federal crop insurance program and the farm bill. And at most locations, how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. More information is at countrycrop.com.
Well, Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming and content. And next Tuesday, the USDA reports will be released at 11 a.m. Central Time. And not long after they are released, you should see them on our website and in my Twitter account. That's at willag.org. We'll have three reports out on Tuesday, January the 12th, the crop production report, final one for the 2015 growing season. Also, the grain stocks report, the first one for the marketing year. And we'll have actually the monthly world agricultural supply and demand estimates.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. There's a special edition of Commodity Week up on the website at willag.org right now, and it's in just the regular Commodity Week section on the homepage. If you hit it, you can listen to a 14-minute interview with Michael Cordonier about South America, Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay in particular, his thoughts on crop prospects there. As soon as I post Commodity Week, the regular one, later this afternoon, that'll disappear at least from the front page, but you can always go to the Commodity Week section of our willag.org website. Look for Commodity Week under the menus, and you'll find all of the Commodity Weeks in an archive there, including the one that we just recorded with Michael Cordonier. If you've not got access to the web, don't worry about it. I'll run that interview during tomorrow's Closing Market Report as well. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon, the 7th day of January. We're joined by Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Mike, you and I follow each other on Twitter, and you posted something interesting earlier in the week I'd like to take up. It's a graphic that shows some, but not all, of the U.S. corn yields after the 12 wettest Novembers and December since 1895 in the Corn Belt, and then what happens the following summer, I believe, and what the deviation from trend yield is like. Can you explain that graphic just a bit?
Yeah, so what we did is we looked at how much rain fell over November, December, because November, December of 2015 was the number one wettest in 121 years of record. So then what we did is we looked at some of the other years that were really wet. And of the 12 wettest that occurred since 1895, nine of those fell since 1960. And the reason we care about 1960 is because that's about the time that we can start looking back into the past and compare those corn and soybean crops to today's corn and soybean crops. And everything would pretty much be equal because yields have tended to move up at a very steady rate since about 1960. And so if you look at all the years that were similarly wet since 1960, we have nine different crop years to look at. And of those 9 years, six of them had below trend corn yields. And not only that, five of those six were the worst on record since 1960. And we're talking about some pretty bad yields here. 1983 was around 20 bushels below trend. 1993, about 20 bushels below trend. Everyone remembers 2012, that was about 33 bushels below trend. 1988, the big drought, about 30 bushels below trend. And also 1974, which was more related to corn blight, but that year was around 15 bushels below trend. So that's looking at corn. So we can just say that the probability appears to be considerably higher than normal for some type of weather problem, just from looking at this data only. Soybeans, it's pretty much the same story. Some of the years are a bit different, especially with 1984. The 1984 soybean crop was one of the worst since 1960, but for corn, it was not. It was just pretty much near trend. Again, six years were far below trend for soybeans since 1960, following these real wet November, Decembers. Now, we know we're only looking at one piece of data here, and it's possible this is just a statistical anomaly, though more than likely it's not. I mean, these are a lot of, this is like looking at the Hall of Fame of bad crops and then looking at the Hall of Fame of wet November, Decembers. You know, you put all these together and you start to have some idea of what may be happening in the atmosphere, at least telling us that a problem lies ahead. Now, we can look at other things too, and this is where it gets really interesting. If you look at September through December temperature across the U.S. Corn Belt, it was the number two warmest since 1895 in 2015. We're pretty sure it's going to stay fairly mild all the way through February, even though next week will be fairly cold. 1 week of cold weather in the middle of winter is not a big deal. Even yesterday was around 6 degrees above normal across the Corn Belt. If you look at, again, September through December temperature, and then you look at what happens in the summer that follows, all 10 of those had warmer than normal July, August, because we looked at the 10 warmest September through February's on record, and then we looked at what happened in July, August. All 10 were warmer than normal. And not only that, If you look at El Nino conditions, again, we're in a very strong El Nino now. That is beginning to weaken, and it will continue to weaken over the next 6 to 9 months. 9 of 10 weakening El Nino situations led to above normal temperatures in August. Above normal temperatures in July and August, you may recall, is never a good thing for corn and soybean yields, because that's when they're most sensitive to temperature. So you want it to be cool at that time of the year. So we have basically three different pieces of information that point toward the potential for a problem coming up in the summer. Number one, just to summarize, is that we just had the wettest November, December on record, and many of the worst crops follow that type of a weather pattern. We have a dying El Nino. Again, 9 of 10 August were warmer than normal following that El Nino, though yields weren't always far below trend following an El Nino. But we just do want to point out that we do have a weather factor that seems to correlate there. And then again, if you look at mildness over the September through February period, and we already know that this September through February will rank among the warmest on record, possibly even number 1, 2, or 3 warmest on record. Well, all July, August periods that followed across the Corn Belt, all 10 of them that were among those warmest, were also warmer than normal. So again, we can't say for sure that we're going to have a major crop problem, but we can say the risk is considerably higher than normal and probably as high as it will ever be at this time of the year. I don't really recall a situation in my doing this for 10 years where we could have some confidence in the potential for issues later on in the summer. And I can't imagine one will come up quite like this again, just because all these different features all kind of tell us the same thing, and that's that the risk is considerably higher than normal going forward.
Mike, thank you so very much for taking us through all of that. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd. You have a great afternoon.
Mike Tenora with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. You can hear him again on our website shortly if you'd like it, willag.org. That's willag.org. It'll be posted in the closing market report not long after 3 o'clock this afternoon. The program, of course, in its entirety. You can find him online as well. His website is www.tstorm.net. That's tstorm.net, or follow Mike on Twitter. His handle is @tstormweather. My handle, by the way, is @commodityweek. In a couple of minutes, we'll take a look at the cash grain market. Matt Bennett will be here from Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Matt Bennett joins us from Windsor, Illinois. He's with Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I'm wondering, now that we've gotten through kind of the holiday season, we're beginning to move back into marketing season. Producers probably considering when they might want to open up the bin doors to make some sales, make some deliveries. Early on, it's usually just deliveries. How's that working at this point, do you think?
Well, you're right. You know, there's a fair amount of movement here in early January. Always is. I think towards the end of the year, a lot of us were maybe looking for maybe some short covering and seasonal, bounce, but we really didn't get it. So most producers are a little bit agitated with that. And, at this point, I think, being honest, the mood isn't the best out in the countryside. And I don't know that anybody feels super bullish towards prices as far as producers go.
All right. And how about yourself?
I think, it's more of a long-term thing. I've been saying all along that if a guy didn't take advantage of strong basis levels early on and right at harvest, and, that it might take a lot of patience, and hopefully that patience will pay. I know, just listening to this weather potential situation for next summer, that might be something that would benefit the guy, but most people need to get cash in hand, so a lot of people are very interested in some sort of a position, like a call strategy where they can get cash in hand by making sales now.
Yeah, a couple of things. I know you were listening because I sent it to you, the interview I did with Mike Tenora that most of the folks were able just to listen to on air here. It's up on the website or will be shortly with the Closing Market Report this afternoon. And then, of course, an interview with Michael Cordonnier that I recorded earlier today, and it is in the Commodity Week feed at this time. It's on the front page under Commodity Week at willag.org right now, and will be there until I get finished talking to you and Dan and Aaron Curtis and Corey Melby this afternoon, and then we'll switch it out. But folks will be able to go back into the Commodity Week menu item there and find it if they'd like at willag.org. I don't know whether you had a chance to listen to that or not, but the bottom line really, I think, according to Dr. Cordonnier, is that even though they're having problems in South America, particularly in Mato Grosso, with the soybean crop, that it will be a record-sized crop one way or the other because they put so many acres in, I suppose, and it's just a big crop to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying that all along, you know, that basically they put so many acres of beans out, and it's the ninth year in a row where they've planted more beans. You know, you can have some weather problems in areas and still end up with an awfully big crop. So I totally concur with that. I think I've been a little bit, you know, kind of waiting around to see what the second crop was going to be like with the safrinha crop, because I knew that they had a fair amount of their corn eggs in that basket, and so I think that that weather's going to be very important here in the next couple, 3 months. But as far as right now goes, it sure looks like they're going to have a huge bean crop.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Yeah, thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Matt Bennett. He is with Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. He joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. I'll record Commodity Week in about 30 minutes or so. It'll be up by about 5 o'clock this evening. There's a special one there now with Michael Cordonnier, so check it out today.